for the Zimbabwean, I think the most important thing to learn out of the Republican Convention is the process, the tolerance in the process. Republicans, one after the other, they are speaking their minds, you know, without any restrictions, without any limitations, without any inhibitions at all. You know, there are no police in Tampa, Florida, harassing the Republican delegates. Everything is very peaceful. There's a great deal of tolerance towards one other, you know, one another's views. Imagine if that Republican convention was maybe an MDC meeting in Harare. It would have been surrounded by the police. The militia thugs would have been stoning that building. And, you know, so the big lesson for Zimbabwe is the respect for the process and the tradition.
Mr. Smith, if you can come in here, what's your analysis of the current Republican convention and how does it translate to the Zimbabwean who is looking at this process?
I think I would echo the professor's remark 100%. He makes a very good point. But you also, you know, you see some very substantive policy differences, but at the same time and at the end of the day, these people on both sides of the aisle, you know, come together and have very substantive, very respectful conversations, whether that's usually behind closed doors and the voting populace doesn't usually get to see that, particularly with the gridlock in Congress and everything we see on TV. But that's not something you necessarily see in a lot of these other contexts, particularly in Zimbabwe, as the professor rightly noted to. You know, you see political gatherings broken up quite often in Harare and outside of the capital, and that's something that we've grown used to here, and something that that we take for granted, and something that I think that America as a country can look to, because we are sort of looked to in terms of leadership on very important issues stemming from human rights and foreign policy and a range of other issues. So it's something that it's a high standard that we have to hold ourselves up to.
Professor Mukasa, as we look at the media, which usually plays a large role in the country, and of course, when it comes to the issue of politics, can you give them a grade? How would you say the media has done in analyzing and also showing the views of both the Democrats, the Obama administration, and the Republicans?
Well, it's difficult to give a standard grade. There is such a proliferation of the media in the United States right now. We have how many? I think about over 15,000 newspapers in the United States, over 11,000 radio stations, and almost all of them are covering, and they are doing so at different levels and with different effectiveness. But at the end of the day, what I would say is that the American public has got access to a very wide range, something that is missing in Zimbabwe. In Zimbabwe, you've got just one broadcast station. And just 2 days ago, the Prime Minister of Zimbabwe said for the past 3 years, he has never been interviewed by the ZBC at home. It's a shock.
Mr. Smith, looking at the current state of Zimbabwe in terms of politics as the country delves into the constitution-making process, we're seeing ZANU-PF has rejected many changes to the system of voting and elections that somewhat mirror the American system. Of course, the issue of vice presidents. How can this affect the country as we move forward with the process of constitution-making?
I think on the particular issue of the vice president, of course, here, as you rightly noted, the president and the presidential nominees here run with a vice president that they and the party select to run on the same ticket as them. And here, it provides American citizens very keen insight into the president, number one, and to the presidential nominees, because in that selection, in picking the person who's, you know, the next step away from the highest office in the land, it really provides you some interesting information on the president and where he or she stand on very important issues in terms of the economy, as the professor was alluding to, in terms of foreign policy, in terms of a whole range of issues. And then in terms of Zimbabwe, I think, and not to diverge too much on your point, I think the vice presidential issue in the current constitution-making process in Zimbabwe, I think, you know, it's really within ZANU-PF and Mugabe's calculus not to have that a part of the Constitution, because it's going to force Mugabe and his party to deal with the succession issue. And that is something that he has made very clear that he doesn't want to deal with, both privately and publicly. And we've already seen a number of issues, particularly in the past year, and most pronounced in the past 5 or 6 months, that the entire succession issue within the party has caused some serious problems and some serious repercussions, including the dissolution of the DCCs and the ongoing battle between the current defense minister, Mnangagwa, and Joyce Majuru. So,
Professor Mukasa, as we look forward to the Zimbabwean elections, what, if anything, can the country learn from processes throughout the world, including America's?
One very important and fundamental lesson that Zimbabwe must learn is to obey, follow an established process. Everybody must agree to a process to be followed. The problem with Zimbabwe is everybody follows their own process. Everybody has got their own ways of how to get to the top. And I wish some of the Zimbabwean politicians could be invited to the Republican or Democratic convention to see how much respect there is for the process. They might disagree on policies. They might disagree on, a multiplicity of issues, but they all follow a process, an electoral process, how elections are to be conducted. Whether you have two vice presidents or not, the most important thing is, at the end of the day, did you follow the process? Look at what happened in 2008 in Zimbabwe. A process was followed. The opposition won the elections. Mugabe refused to step down. This is one big lesson they could learn, not only in America, but in Canada and Britain and other Western industrialized countries, as well as countries in Africa like Kenya, South Africa, and Ghana. Look at Ghana. Their president died, and there was a seamless succession to the vice president. There was no hoopla, there was no fighting or anything.
Mr. Smith, if you can come in here.
Professor, again, makes a very strong point, and I think even if the average Zimbabwean were to take lessons from the United States, and there are plenty to take, not to say that we don't have our own faults in the system here. There are many, and there are many that need to be worked on. It is by no means a perfect democracy, and it's something that consistently needs to be worked on. And that is, I think, the main thing to understand. A democracy is never going to be a perfect democracy, and I think Zimbabweans know that, and you've sort of seen that in the debates around the Constitution and everything else. But again, it goes back to not only the process itself, but also the environment. And the environment right now is in Zimbabwe is one of prevailing fear, a prevailing fear of political violence and electoral violence and repercussions for stating one's viewpoint. If